Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 20th of January, 2021 for Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. A background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases again of COVID-19. So we've got 50 active cases, including two people in Nobles. A man's been arrested after the death of a cyclist at the weekend. The steam packet tells us how it prevents COVID on the Ben McCree. Did the Chief Minister really downplay Manx expertise? And David Knight reflects on his 2021 Dakar rally, all on Lockdown 2, Day 14.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mai, Lewis Foster.
Faster Mai. There have been no new cases of COVID-19 reported on the island for the second day. It means there's been no evidence of community spread for 8 days now. The total active number now stands at 50. A motion asking for a fresh examination of government's management of the COVID crisis has received unanimous backing in Tynwald. Amendments to Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas's item also passed, including one from Ramsay's Laurie Hooper asking for a review of the policy on compassionate travel. And the Treasury Minister says the cost of covering COVID tests for returning residents would amount to £420,000 a month. Alfred Cannon says in November and December, the average number of people moving through the island's ports was around 700 a week. Further afield, Joe Biden's been sworn in as the 46th US president. During his inauguration in a snowy Washington, D.C., he declared that democracy has prevailed, but warned of a winter of peril. Kamala Harris has also been confirmed as America's first female vice president. Across the water, the number of people dying with COVID-19 in the UK continues to rise. Another 1,800 deaths have been reported, the highest figure yet. Meanwhile, dozens of flood warnings are in place across Britain as Storm Christoph brings strong winds and heavy rain. The environment agencies warned of a volatile situation in Greater Manchester and South Yorkshire. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Lewis. From the Ronald's Way Met Office, there's a strong wind warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 12 hours. In fact, tomorrow morning's Ben McCree 8:45 sailing is under a cloud at the moment. We'll know first thing tomorrow morning. A dry evening across the Isle of Man at last, and a moderate northwesterly backing westerly and strengthening. Overnight, minimum 2 degrees at sea level and close to freezing on the hills. Jourdain, Thursday, dry to kick off, with then sleet and snow showers on the blustery west-northwesterly from late morning, becoming isolated mid-afternoon. Daytime maximum 5 degrees, down to 2 through the night. And for Friday, dry with sunny intervals. Jehenia, 5 degrees. Tides on the way out, low water 11 minutes to 11 tonight, high waters at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, sunrise 23 minutes past 8, low water 6 minutes past 11. And the matrix signs for the mountain this evening showing snow and ice.
Manx Glass and Glazing are able to offer an emergency out-of-hours boarding up service. Call 491918.
A man's been arrested following the death of a 21-year-old cyclist last Saturday. Luke McNicholas passed away after colliding with a vehicle on the Curragh Road while riding his electric bike on the cycle path in St John's. The details from Ewan Gorn.
Police have arrested the driver of the vehicle in connection with road traffic offences at the scene. The 29-year-old man was bailed pending the outcome of ongoing inquiries. The senior investigating officer, Inspector Neil Craig from the Constabulary's Road Policing Unit, says statements have been taken from key witnesses who were identified at the scene. Inspector Craig has appealed for anyone at or near the location at the time of the collision who hasn't spoken to officers yet, to come forward and contact police headquarters on 31212. There's a specific call for anyone who may have had dash cam or GoPro footage covering the areas of either the cycle path near to the Curragh Road or the Curragh Road itself between 3 and 3.20 in the afternoon on Saturday. The constabulary is asking the public not to speculate on what may have happened, particularly as they say at an extremely distressing time for Luke's family. For more information on this story, you can head to manxradio.com.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Five to six on Manx Radio, and just as the Ben McCree is reversing onto the Lingspan in Douglas Harbour, the Steam Packet says it has clear policies in place for its crew to prevent COVID-19 spread on board the Ben. It follows a question put by Manx Radio at the latest coronavirus government media briefing. The details from Lewis Foster.
The station has been contacted by a couple members of crew who expressed concern about Manx and UK staff mixing on board, with Manx crews worried about potentially taking the virus home. Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Hewitt, says travel and transport is an area they do offer guidance on.
Since the start of the issue, we have been regularly reviewing arrangements for various groups of employees. Steam Packet would be one. A flight crew would be another, in order to risk assess and then try and put in place mitigations that balance the needs of the service that they work for with public safety and safety for the individuals. And we are currently re-reviewing the Steam Packet arrangements.
In response, the Steam Packet issued this statement saying the Steam Packet has clear policies in place for its crew to prevent COVID spread, which are perhaps best illustrated by the fact there's been no onboard outbreaks since the start of the pandemic last year. Those public health guidelines are designed to prevent the spread of coronavirus on both its vessels and at its ports.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Well, the Ben safely in harbour at the moment, onto the Lingspan. She departed Heysham at a minute to two, now safely in harbour. We're departing at 7.45 this evening, heading for Heysham, getting into Lancashire at about half past 11 tonight, then back at 2.15, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, should be in port. Tomorrow morning's 8.45 is subject to possible disruption or cancellation, and to give the sailing every opportunity to take place, a final decision will be made by the master at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
There was a challenge to the Treasury Minister in Tynwald today. Support scheme payments should have been made quicker and a national insurance holiday would benefit businesses. The concerns of the two Douglas South MHKs, Claire Christian and Paul Quine.
I'd like to ask the Minister if his department would agree to reviewing the timing in which support is delivered. Namely, MIRA being switched on actually means a self-employed person must wait 2 weeks in arrears. And in that time, the individual waits in anticipation, producing enormous pressure and worry if they will receive MIRA or not. Some families have contacted me utterly distraught, worried where they're going to get the money and how they're going to put food on the table. Would the minister agree a shorter arrears period would help these families and individuals in their time of need?
I'm happy to take a review of all these matters. And we'll do so when we digest the outcome of the latest circuit breaker.
Mr. President, has the Minister considered an NI holiday for businesses with reduced turnover? And what would the Minister say to a constituent who's contacted me, bringing to my attention that his business, despite having contributed around £500,000 to the Manx economy last year, is suffering greatly?
It is made perfectly clear to individuals that national insurance is a required payment by law for them to make, and I just can't understand why she thinks a lack of education in this respect is pushing those who choose to be self-employed and choose to go into business into some sort of poverty. So utterly reject that.
Manx Radio's business statement. Briefing.
The latest from the world of business: Netflix has hit 200 million subscribers. And its irrepressible subscriber growth has led to another significant milestone. for the streaming giant, buoyed by hits like Bridgerton. Netflix yesterday said that it surged past 200 million paid subscribers globally, adding 37 million new subscribers in 2020, including 8.5 million in the last quarter. It also generated a blockbuster $6.7 billion in quarterly revenue, up from $5.45 billion a year earlier. Significantly and ominously for competitors, Netflix, which actually launched in 1997 as the world's first online DVD rental store with just 30 employees and 925 titles to rent, Netflix now no longer relies on debt to fund its day-to-day operations. EasyJet's reported a 250% surge in bookings for summer travel compared to last year. In the latest sign of pent-up demand for holidays, the chief exec, Johan Lundgren, suggested the UK's vaccine rollout had boosted confidence, with bookings from over 50s rising in the past few weeks. TUI and Saga both reported rising demand, with older people making up a higher proportion than usual. And in other airline news, Europe's Aviation Safety Agency has said the Boeing 737 MAX will be cleared to resume flying in Europe before the summer. And Norwegian Airlines has axed its long-haul routes to focus on shorter routes within Europe, cutting more than 1,000 jobs at Gatwick.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher ahead of the inauguration of President Joe Biden. The dollar edged higher against the euro. Oil rose, gold rose ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration. In corporate news, Pearson was the standout gainer, as it said sales and profit for the full year were in line with expectations. Burberry gained after sales fell in the third quarter as the impact of COVID-19 and fewer price cuts offset strong sales. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up 0.4% at 6,740. The DAX in Frankfurt closed up 0.75% at 13,921. Currently in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial is up 0.6% at 31,122. And the tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, up 1.75% at 13,424. The S&P 500 in the Midwest is up just over 1% at 3,841. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1, 36.5 cents, €1, 12.7 cents, and 20 South African rand, 31.9 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold up 1.5% at $1,867 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 0.6% at $56.31.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. Thanks for joining Manx Radio. It's 17 minutes before 6 on update. Businesses could be put off from setting up on the Isle of Man after inappropriate comments made by the Chief Minister. That's the view of the Chief Exec of The Hub, a network which acts as an incubator for innovators. And the chief exec says Howard Quayle is bringing the island into disrepute. This is Tessa Hawley's report.
Jason Scales was reacting to a discussion in Timor this week regarding the government's decision to send COVID-19 results off-island for genomic testing rather than utilising on-island resource.
The Isle of Man should be encouraging excellence and not rubbishing it. You know, our Chief Minister and the island are now losing credibility, particularly in our biomed space. It's going to have long-term damages on our abilities to attract new businesses in those sectors. We've worked so hard to grow those sectors on the island, and we've literally just knocked them back by years by discrediting them like that.
Defending the government position during the virtual sitting, Mr. Quayle said the service offered in Liverpool was world class.
using Liverpool as our provider of genomic sequencing not only gives us access to the highest quality laboratory technical services, but also the support from world-class experts in interpreting the results. We have three professors leading the team at Liverpool, and they then have access to the rest of the world. So I think the people of the Isle of Man are getting the very best service from our friends in Liverpool.
Describing the Chief Minister as openly discrediting local businesses, Mr. Scales told Manx Radio he believes it's time for swift action to be taken.
The Chief Minister now is bringing our island into disrepute, and it's time for other ministers within Comyn and members of Tynwald to stand out and stand up against the Chief Minister and point out just how inappropriate comments are like this and just how difficult, you know, the core of my business is bringing new businesses to the Isle of Man, and a lot of them are in highly specific and experted fields. I can't feel confident encouraging anybody to relocate here, knowing that they could be discredited by our government down the line for helping the islands, which is basically what's happened here. Now's the time for ministers and members of Tynwald to make a point and make it clear that this type of action is just not acceptable.
And responding to the Tynwald Exchange, Dr. Rachel Glover, the scientist who set up the island's testing facility, claimed the government was now punishing her for trying to use her expertise.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai, hockey players island-wide have been paying tribute to one of their own. Barbara Kniveton, previous player for Castletown Hockey Club, has recently passed away. The Isle of Man Hockey Association has paid its respects in a post on social media, which reads, "Barbara was a long-standing member of our hockey community and will be greatly missed. We send our sympathies and condolences to her family." In a special post of its own, Castletown Hockey Club described Barbara as a wonderful woman, saying, "It is with a heavy heart that we have to say goodbye to one of the true legends of our club." You can find Castletown's post at manxradio.com on our sports page. Northern Ireland's biggest road race has been cancelled for the second year in a row. Organisers of the Northwest 200 say advice from government and health officials indicated coronavirus will be around for some time to come, despite the rollout of vaccines. There had been talk of moving the event until later in the year, but that has also been dropped. The Northwest 200 normally takes place just before the TT in May, and the new provisional dates for 2022 are the 8th until the 14th of May. Further afield, and World Athletics President Lord Sebastian Coe believes this summer's Tokyo Olympics will go ahead, but organisers face a series of logistical battles to make it happen. The Games, which are taking place a year later than planned due to the pandemic, have been thrown into doubt again due to a rise in COVID-19 cases in Japan. Lord Coe, who chaired the team which delivered London 2012, says there's so much to consider.
Just think about the village. You've got 10,500 athletes, probably another 7,000 support staff in there, and they're all probably wanting to eat at roughly the same time, you know, and that's just a sliver of the challenge. So look, I think for the athletes it will be a very different experience.
And Sarah Thomas will make history next month by becoming the first woman to officiate in the American football's Super Bowl. In 2015, she became the NFL's first full-time female official. Thomas is among the seven-strong group for the iconic season-ending match, headed by referee Carl Cheffers. We'll find out the two teams who will contest it after Sunday's conference championships.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Open as normal during this circuit break.
12 minutes before 6 o'clock, just one departure, one arrival. Logan Air's 10 to 5 to Liverpool. The patient transfer plane left 9 minutes late, due back at 20 to 7 this evening. And the Ben McCree's 8:45 sailing tomorrow morning will be announced at 7 o'clock because of winds out in the North Irish Sea. Tune in to Manx Radio. On the roads, Westlands in Peel is closed for demolition, refurb and extension works, as is Chapel Lane in Peel. They're reconstructing the highway, and also remember those staged phase closures for water main replacement and sewage infrastructure, stopping off between the Creek Inn and Station Place. Station Park in Colby is closed for curb replacement and resurfacing, and there's gas main replacement in Cronk Road, Port St Mary, until the 5th of February. All the information you need about the roads on the Isle of Man and what's going to happen to the Douglas Promenade at maxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Quayside Tyres use Xmas to sanitise all vehicles and is available for your home or workplace. For tyre requirements, we can come to your drive or workplace with no call-out charge during the circuit break or arrange collection and return. Call 66 4417.
A Portsmouth Mary Commissioner is calling on the government to move with the times and update legislation surrounding local authorities. It's after emergency laws which allow decisions to be made remotely expired in December before the island entered the second lockdown. Now, rates have to be set by the end of the month, but current rules mean decisions can only be ratified in person. The Portsmouth Mary member, Dr. Michelle Hayward, spoke to our local democracy reporter Chris Cave.
We had a budget setting committee that started work back in the summer. This is sort of the culmination of 6 months of work, sort of working out what's happening. But there have been some last minute changes to assumptions that were made as part of the budget. And so, you know, local authority spend also goes on things like civic amenity sites. It goes on, in our case, refuse collections and things like that. The closer you get to the time, if any of those parameters change, then you need to go back and just reevaluate the figures again. So from Portsmouth Mary's perspective, I'm comfortable that we're fairly close to making a decision. There have been a couple of last minute bits of information that have come in that we will need to deal with, but we have had already some lengthy discussions about that.
Do you think that in the wake of what has happened since March last year, it's time government didn't just reintroduce the emergency legislation, they updated the laws on a permanent basis so that we don't encounter these problems again should we be in another pandemic?
Absolutely. And I think there's an option here that you could actually move to having virtual meetings. You could have online meetings and stuff like that, that would encourage people to get involved, you know, trekking out, especially if it's a really kind of wet and horrible dark night, trekking out to the local commissioner's office, go and watch the public session of a meeting. Probably something that's not going to happen. But actually having cameras in that meeting and having it that you could log on online and you could watch it, I don't see why we exclude local authorities from that access to technology and to try and increase inclusion and influence in local politics. Well, we're allowing Tidmore to do it. It's not beyond the wit to do that. But at the moment, you know, the legislation is not allowing us to do virtual meetings. So it does need to move. We need to move forward with the times. And if there were changes like that that would allow greater input into local government, that would be amazing.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
As Tidwell drew to a close today, an amendment from Laurie Hooper MHK to a coronavirus amendment motion prompted a mini debate on whether means testing should be used to gauge whether people should pay for COVID testing. The case was put forward by Laurie Hooper. The Treasury Minister gave a robust response.
There's no means test. Those with means can travel freely, provided they accept the isolation criteria. Those without means cannot travel freely, even if they're willing to accept the isolation. Now, I know what will be said in response to this. It will be, well, people can just isolate for 21 days if they want to avoid the cost of a test. Unfortunately, if this argument is propagated, it fails to appreciate the situation that many people on the lowest incomes find themselves in. And we've seen this very clearly with the calls for financial support following Christmas. There are a lot of families who are on the lowest rungs of income that just don't have significant cash reserves that would allow them to not work for weeks on end.
During November and December, it's fair to say that the numbers of people moving through our ports was averaging at about 700 people a week. Now, the cost of the test, as confirmed by the Department of Health and Social Care, is approximately £50 per test. And if we return to that status after this circuit breaker lockdown with a new cost-free testing regime, then Tidmore will be supporting returning travellers and new arrivals with taxpayers' funds to the tune of £420,000 a month. This, along with other rules and regulations, whilst appropriate for the majority, do impact in some cases in one or two areas which is not appropriate. But one also has to accept, you know, we are in the middle of a national crisis, you know, and fiddling around with technical questions around means testing and the appropriateness and costs and an individual's ability to pay is not necessarily appropriate.
David Knight's been reflecting on his team's tactics after completing the 2021 Dakar Rally. It's a grueling 7,646-kilometre race through desert sands that often sees over half of the riders competing drop out to technical issues. Knighter had zero experience of riding in the desert, not only completed the rally in his Dakar debut, but came 24th out of 63.
The hard bit for me was actually riding on half speed. I was probably going 50-60% pretty much all the time, just trying to get through it without incident or injury or doing anything daft, because everything can change in it's just split second. It's just so dangerous, because when you race a bike, you learn to read the terrain that you're on. So I've never been in a desert. Getting towards the end of the rally, I started to figure it out a little bit. But it's just experience. You know, a few months before, I was thinking, well, I put it back a year, because I've done one rally in Spain, which was like a Baja, so it wasn't really a proper rally. Hmm. And that's all I've done, you know. And these guys, you know, all the top guys had been out in Dubai and Morocco for like 4 or 5 months training. So,
which makes your result all the more impressive.
Yeah, it does. Like, I went, you know, you climb the leaderboard more every day, and I had a couple of good days towards the end. I had, like, I think on 2 days from the end, which was my favourite day, it was like quite stony and rocky, more technical. I had the quickest waypoint out of everyone on the last waypoint that day, where that was one of the only times that I was really enjoying it so much, and I was like dead comfortable with the terrain. Mm. And I just sort of got into a rhythm, and I wouldn't say I was pushing on hard, but I was just enjoying myself riding the bike. And then I got to the end, and a few people said, oh, you had the quickest split at the end. So I know I can produce a good result, but there's a hell of a lot more going on about in the Dakar Rally than just riding a bike.
That's it for Update tonight. Apart from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster, producer Ewan Gordon. Remember, the COVID briefing is 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on Manx Radio, live on all frequencies, and YouTube and Facebook as well. Stick around for the greatest hits on earth with Chris Kindley, including a COVID-19 bulletin at 7 o'clock. I'm Andy Wint. An Update is back tomorrow evening at 5:30.